434-1790. Program manager Ronald Clark has just handed me the results of the Monday, July 23rd quarterfinal playoffs for the People's Monarch. Hollaback, too sweet, came up with just the hole. And Hollaback got 55% of the votes received, and just the got 45% of the votes received. So Hollaback's Too Sweet is the first of our quarterfinal playoff winners. So remember the Starcom Network Flow People's Monarch 2018 is up and running. Brass Tax, good morning. Hello.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi.
Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
I'm not bad, and you?
Pretty good. I'm not going to hide behind any anonymity. I'm going to introduce myself. Dennis, this is David Strong calling. How are you?
This is?
David Strong.
Oh, hi, David. Yeah, got you.
Good, good. Dennis, I am... Let me just first introduce myself to the public. I am unabashed, unrepentant advocate of all marginalized persons and communities. And this morning, I started by being enraged by that. But I've taken a couple of deep breaths, Dennis, and I'm a lot calmer. And I recognize that the issue that we have is far more deep-seated than I originally thought.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my point. People have got to stop cloaking their insecurities, their own insecurities and ignorance in this erroneous mantle of morality and citing their religion. They've got to stop doing it. They have to allow their humanity and the love that is intrinsic in all human beings to come forth. Because I keep saying that the same prophet, the same philosopher that they executed them across a couple of thousand years ago was exposed the same virtue. And I speak in the context of what the caller was talking about, the LGBT community, and the wider opinion that they are seeking to impose their lifestyle on people. Let me just say for the record, this is not a lifestyle, for God's sake, man. This is who people are. This is who they are. Nobody chooses to live a lifestyle which subjects them to bigotry, hatred, and condemnation. Nobody chooses that. Please, I ask people, allow your humanity to come through. The same woman that spoke earlier easily could have had a sister or a brother whose sexuality was not in keeping with what they may consider normal. And then who are we to be the custodians of what is normal? Who are we to be the custodians of what is of tolerance? In fact, marginalized communities are the ones that have to be tolerant of us. And I am saying that people have got to allow their humanity to come through. Their love of people, their love of human beings. Are you saying to me that people who are members of the LGBT community are less human than we are? Who gave us the right to say that?
I think
they are people.
But David, I think the challenge for, well, let me not say the challenge. I think a lot of people, or some of the people that I listen to, have based their revulsion on the fact that they believe that there are people who engage in such practices for kicks, that they do it for experimentation, they do it for kicks, and therefore they have put. But hold on, but therefore they put that on everybody else. You know how there are some people who could have what they say a social drink and have a lot of it, and then they say there are some people who can't even smell alcohol, but everybody get tarnished with the same brush. So I think what has happened is that people who have experimented sexually, or people who have been promiscuous, have said, look, these people are doing it because they enjoy it and it's not because of any defects, so they're pushing it down our throats.
Let's not conflate the issues. Let's understand. Yeah, I understand.
I get that.
Where you're going with that, and I understand that. That is also, in my view, a cop-out. Mm. That is also a cop-out. Religious, your religious God, that religious mantle that people put up, is also a cop-out for people who do not wish to engage the gray matter between their ears and think.
They don't want to be tarnished by the people that they associate with either, too.
That is part of their own insecurity that they've got to come to terms with. Dennis, I have been on a journey, and I continue to be on a journey of enlightenment. I'm not there yet. I wish to be the person. I will recognize the person that I want to be when I get there. And I am saying to you, I can recognize and I can almost understand where some people may be stuck in this journey, because I have no doubt that people who are religious want to be good people. Mm-hmm. But if you continue to be stuck when you are so consumed with the sex act, and not understanding the difference between sex and people's sexuality. If you are so consumed by the physical sex act and what goes on in the privacy of people's bedroom, mm-hmm. I'm saying take your head out of people's private business. Take your head away from that and try to actually embrace humanity. Every one of us has it. I am really, really upset by this. And I think it is time, Dennis, and I know your progressive station must have thought about it, of hosting people who are of unlike mind and perhaps of like mind, and actually have an open and honest conversation about it, because it is time that we really openly discuss it. I continue to be on this journey, and it was, I'm telling you, it was just five words uttered on a program by a really sharp journalist called Keith Olbermann many years ago. Mm. And he asked five words, in this question, and they were as though they were pointed at me.
At you.
I was stuck. I myself was stuck at the notion that members of the LGBT community must be allowed all types of civil rights and so on, and I was stuck on this issue of marriage. And then it was asked to me by the same Olbermann, what is it to you? And I couldn't answer the question. I'm not going to get any better looking or uglier or richer or poorer. What is it to me? And I'm saying on the question of marriage, and a lot of people are stuck on this, it is about the dignity of the institution. Yeah, okay. It's about people wanting to be recognized as being dignified human beings. If the courtesy is extended to who we call straight people, why can't it be extended to a group of us who are different? That's all you're saying. And I want people to think about this, and I want to have an open and honest discussion on it, a conversation with people who don't think like me. But all I want to say is, Dennis, please, I beg people, let your humanity come forth. Let your humanity thrive. It is intrinsic. We all have it. Stop being stuck in this nonsense and stop using your religious mantle as a protection against your own insecurity. That is all. That's all right, sir.
Go safely. Be good. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm good. This is Dennis.
Oh, sorry, Dennis.
Sorry. That's all right, man. tell me.
I see this LGBT argument is going strong today.
Well, once one person starts, it's going to go. It's going to continue.
That's a very emotional topic, I imagine.
Well, it strikes people where they don't like to be struck, and that's in the bedroom.
Well, I thought that's where all the striking occurred.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. It depends on what you're struck with. I don't think they like being hit by people who are not their partners. Go ahead. Tell me.
Well, since you brought up the topic of the bedroom, I totally agree that, you know, whatever goes on in your bedroom is between you and your partner.
And whoever looking through the window.
Well, that's
which is where a lot of people are on this issue.
True, very true. No, my point is that, you know, I mean, what people to me, as far as I'm concerned, what people do in their bedrooms is their own business. I am not interested. And when you start to bring that bedroom talk out of the bedroom,
then it becomes a public issue.
Then it becomes a public issue.
Yep. Yep.
And once it's a public issue, you're going to get some flack on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. You will always find people who will object to it. Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, that's one point that, you know, whatever you do in your bedroom, keep it in your bedroom. Nobody else is interested in what you do in your bedroom but you and your partner. So keep it in your bedroom. Yes, I understand people want rights to be married and so forth and, you know, to be a partner or whatever. I mean, that's fine, you know, except that are we going to give specific rights to people based on their sexual orientation? I mean, that's another question. I mean, supposing somebody likes to have sex with animals, should they get specific rights too? Because, you know, I mean, that's their sexual orientation. That's another topic that we need to bring up as well. You know, I mean, what are we basing people's rights on? I thought people's rights are the right to education, food, you know, life, good income, et cetera, et cetera.
And it is that word called life and the quality of their life that I think people use to define their sexual preference or orientation. To them, it is the manifestation of what they do with their lives. The challenge that I tried to point out to a previous caller and someone who just sent a WhatsApp message to is the definition of marriage. And I said to the lady who had called, the lady who identified herself as a Muslim, I said to her, there are ceremonies conducted every day joining people in this thing called matrimony, or even worse, holy matrimony, which then puts a spiritual dimension to it.
Yeah.
At hotels, in gardens, by people who are not ordained ministers of religion. They're justices of the peace, various other people who perform these ceremonies. They're mm-hmm. civil ceremonies, basically, but they're called marriage ceremonies. So mm-hmm. what you may then find people having to define is, how do you define marriage based on a union of two people? Is there a holy part of it, or is it just a secular or civic ceremony that joins two people together and gives them certain rights? I heard the discussion yesterday, for example, of dying and automatically assuming the rights and the estate of the deceased. But I don't think even in churched marriages, I'm using church marriages here, that it is automatic that your spouse gets everything. You still got the legal side of it to deal with, will or no will. I know people who've been legally married, both in church and according to the state, who, you know, still have to go through all kind of loopholes to get whatever the deceased partner had. So, you know, nothing is automatic. There has to be a component of it. Now, if you're going to define marriage on the holy grounds, once you try to merge the two, you will get into problems. As far as I could see it, there's no way you can merge the two. You're going to run into a big jam.
Sides of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one, a marriage, okay, as far as religious or where marriage has come from,
mm-hmm.
which is a religious thing,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is where two people become as one.
As one. Oh, yeah, okay. And trust me, I get into a lot of trouble trying to make somebody understand that too. So, yeah. Uh-huh.
And then on the other side of the coin, okay, is the end of the relationship, okay,
mm-hmm.
which is no longer a religious part of it, because as far as religion is goes...
You're with that partner for life, yeah. Mm.
Right, you're supposed to be married for life.
Mm-hmm.
But the end of the relationship now becomes a legal matter.
Mm-hmm.
And that has nothing to do with whether you have rights or not.
Mm-hmm.
That is a legal matter, okay, that you bring up in a court, which has nothing to do with religion.
With what you did in the church. Right.
So it's a totally different argument with one and the other. And I think we need to look at how we separate the two. If it's a legal matter, mm-hmm. I mean, people can come up and have a power of attorney over each.
Over each, yeah.
Or something mm-hmm. like that, right? Mm-hmm. And they can say, well, look, you know,
joint accounts, do a right of survivorship. Yeah, you can find legal ways to do it. Just as how you can find legal ways to dissolve any partnership, business or otherwise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a legal thing. Mm-hmm. So as far as the religious thing goes, I mean, you know, it's not religious for two women or two men, okay, to be unionized under the license of marriage, per se, okay?
Mm-hmm.
marriage is a religious ceremony where two people become one. So, you know, how can you, why would you want to become married? That's the argument. I mean, why married?
Which is why I say it depends on how they use it. I have no idea.
Background or what?
Well, I have no idea. I know the previous caller made the same thing about they want to be married. And again, I haven't had a discussion with someone for them to define to me what they mean by they want to be married. The other thing that is, to me, let me say a bit of a dichotomy is this. From my own personal experience, people don't have to be married to have sex, you know. As a matter of fact, I know people would say that sex decreased after marriage than before. But that's perhaps because of their particular level of engagement. But the challenge for me is, what is it you want sanctified or justified, and why it becomes a national issue, as you say? Because if it happens between consenting adults, it happens between consenting adults in the privacy of their rooms, or wherever they choose to be private.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's an argument, sir, that will go on and on and on. Someone else is agreeing with you and say, they don't know whether they're insecure or not, but all people should keep their sexual behavior and sexual orientation in their bedrooms. That, I think, is the general idea. The comment that I keep hearing, though, and this is the one that worries me, because it says to me that we don't trust our legal system to deal with it, is when people say about forcing our young children to. Children should be protected by the law under a certain age. There are legal ramifications to molesting or interfering or leading a child. There was a charge I know called contributing to the delinquency of a minor. I don't know if it still exists, but my uncle used to preach it to me when I was in my teenage years. But the law should protect the vulnerable. So,
you know,
it should.
Yes, it should.
And if we need to change it, then we should change it.
Some corners of the world, the children now have rights.
Rights, yeah, and I know. And I can't force my rights on them.
Exactly. And they don't even need their parents' authorization to have a sex change.
Yeah.
Which is very, very sad.
Yeah. Eh? So I think so. I think we have a challenge.
So forth, but, you know, a 12-year-old child having a sex change.
Yeah, yeah.
A 12-year-old child doesn't even know about sex. You know? I mean, that can be argued, you know.
There are places where they have adjusted the law to allow child marriages by dropping the age of consent to 12 and 13 and allowing what they call child brides. And there are states that have done this. And again, in some cases, have quoted religious principles to enforce that law. And that's why I made the comment about some of the laws of the state can be found in biblical context. And some of the things that are prohibited in biblical context are not mirrored in the laws of the state. The one I found particularly interesting was the exposing of the person in a lewd and suggestive manner. There were some ladies who were bathing in the nude on a beach in St. James in Barbados, who were taken to court for lewdly and obscenely exposing their person. And the defense lawyer said, in every case where exposing the person was brought to court, the person referred to a penis. And since the three ladies had no such appendage, they could not be lewdly or obscenely. We can not say that they were lewdly or obscenely exposing their persons. And I said to the person, all we have to do is adjust the law to say, person refers to the genitalia of male or female to include breasts, buttocks, etc., etc., etc. And that shouldn't take too long. You just amend the law to suit. I don't know if it has ever been amended, but that was what was used. Brass Dax, good morning.
Morning.
Yes, good morning. Hello. Okay, I guess your phone couldn't wait as long as you could. And thank you for holding. Brass Dax, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Sir, how are you?
I'm remarkable, and you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm glad. I enjoyed the exchange with yourself and that lady. She's Muslim.
The lady who said she was Muslim, yeah.
Right. She sounded so mannerly and so cordial.
Were you surprised by that?
You yourself reciprocated properly.
You were surprised by that, sir? So I talk to ladies that way all the time. I beg your pardon?
but
I pull in your leg. I pull in your leg. Don't jump at it. I pull in your leg.
Yeah, I know. But I enjoy your laughter and the interaction. It sounds so pleasant and so nice for radio.
Oh, but, I thank you. On her behalf, I thank you.
Right. I have not gotten into all of this LGBT and all this debate. You have. Well, in Barbados, you know, I haven't spoken about over the years. It'd be easy to say you haven't spoken on it. It's a noise type, so and so on that. But anyhow, let me hear something to say and cut the chase. You see all of this debate and whatever, ultimately, I perceive what's going to happen here. When this comes to the fore with some real impetus, you know what was going to happen? They're going to put this to a referendum. And that's going to be it.
But that's what the present government said they were going to do.
If
to make any kind of changes to legislation, they will go to the public. Sir, but let me point this out to you.
Uh-huh.
We've had consultations on various matters where the public made their opinions known. Not referenda, as far as I know. We had a commission on gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we had one-armed bandits? Are there one-armed bandits in Barbados?
Bandits, yes.
We had one on the death penalty.
Yeah.
So we've had consultations. We've had public input.
Right.
And then what?
And then what?
Have we changed some of the things? Have we allowed it? You see, here's the problem, right, that we face. The problem that we face is that when we go to international financial institutions for support.
Yeah.
We place ourselves in a position where if we are not in a position to strongly stick by our principles, we could be asked or forced to bend to accept aid.
Okay.
So when we go to a financial institution and they say, well, we will lend you $500,000 or $500 million or $200 million to help you build a courthouse or to help you build a new hospital.
Right.
But you must not discriminate against people who come to you because they are A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Right.
You then find yourself in a position of saying,
what do I do here?
What do I do? And when you have someone who challenges a law, and you go through the court, the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeal, the CCJ, and they say the mandatory death sentence is ultra-vires the Constitution.
Right.
What do you do? Do you change your Constitution because you have a two-thirds majority, or do you go with the ruling of the highest court in your land? Those are challenges that you need you need to make the decision one way or the other. And to do it, you have to have the support of your populace.
Right.
And you also have to ensure that it does not make you or put your country in a position where you're isolated and you can't do anything about it. There was a case in Grenada where during a gay cruise, two men were caught displaying their affection for each other in public. They were taken to court. And the magistrate said to them, while you're free to do what you want to do while you're on your cruise ship, it offends the morals of our country for you to do it in public here in Grenada. I don't think it has stopped them from getting cruise tourism, but I just tell you it happened there. It happened actually when I was in the country on business, so that's what I could tell you. I followed the story with interest. We have the regional roundup coming up, and then we have network news from Floor. More of your calls on the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Stay with us.